Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu Perek Chaf Gimel, the 23rd Perek. We're at the final Perek of the Masa'ot Amim, the prophecies regarding other nations. If you remember, it's been 11 Prakim since Perek Yud Gimel that Yeshayahu has focused almost exclusively on the various nations surrounding Eretz Yisrael. Tomorrow, starting from Perek Chaf Dalet, Yeshayahu will once again revert back to talking about Am Yisrael, their future and their destiny. Today, we're going to have the Masa regarding a nation called Tzor. Tzor is an area which is north of Israel, south in the southern Lebanon area, and it is an important trade city. And what's interesting about the Masa regarding Tzor is that the prophecy describing its destruction actually speaks about it from the perspective of those surrounding Tzor. Because since Tzor was such an important piece of the trade of that region, when Tzor fell, so trade in the entire region fell apart. And therefore, all the other nations suffered as a result of it. Let's take a look. The prophecy opens up in Pasuk Aleph, Matsa Tzor. This is a prophecy regarding Tzor. Helilu oniyot Tarshish. Cry out the ships of Tarshish. And as we said, it's a port here, that we're talking about trade that takes place via the ocean, which is going to be important. Tarshish is a Mediterranean port city nearby. And the people of Tarshish are crying out because Shudad mibayit mabo me'eretz kitim niglalamo. Because Tzor has been plundered and cannot house you any longer. From the land of Kittim, this was revealed to the people of Tarshish. When is this talking about? There are two different opinions in the Mefarshim. According to Rashi, the Malbim, the Ibn Ezra, the fall of Tzor is going to take place at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. And we'll see one of the reasons that compels them to say that is the text itself later on. However, the Radak and the Abarbanel and others say, no, this is actually going to happen during the Assyrian rule at the hands of Sanherib. And these surrounding countries that are mourning the destruction of Tzor are told to have two different responses, which actually contradict each other. Pasuk Beis tells us, Domu Yoshvei, Socher Tzidon Over Yam Miluch. Be silent, those who dwell in the neighboring islands, those who trade from Tzidon, those who pass by the sea. Tzidon is a neighboring city that's right next to Tzor. And here they're told to be silent because they should, in sadness and in mourning because of the destruction of Tzor. The Malbim reads this totally the opposite. He says here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is instructing Tzidon to be silent because Tzidon was wailing in mourning about the destruction of Tzor. And Hashem turns to Tzidon and says, don't you realize now that Tzor has fallen, you can become the next world power. You be silent, don't cry out in sadness, because this is actually an opportunity for you. And once again, we see the word domu, be silent, could be an instruction to mourn or an instruction to rejoice, depending on how you look at it. And we're really getting an indication here of the complexity of the dynamics of these countries, their power struggles, their trading. Last time we spoke also about how there was Mitzrayim and the fishermen and the people who made the ropes to make the nets. All of these things give us a sense of how interconnected all of these prophecies are. It's not just each country on their own, but each one actually truly depends on the other. And ultimately, in this ancient world, what connects all of these places? The sea. And Pasuk Dalet is going to give a beautiful personification of the sea that is mourning the destruction of Tzor because there are no longer the same amount of boats traveling upon her waters. Ki amar yam, ma'oz yam, because the sea, the mighty sea, said as follows, lo chalti velo yaladiti velo gidalti b'churim romamti b'sulos. It feels as if I've never gone into labor and I've never had children and I've never raised them up. You can imagine saying, the sea saying, there is no fruit to my labor. I have created an entire ecosystem of trade and it's all fallen apart before my eyes. It all surmounts to nothing. And that really is the tragedy of the destruction of Tzor. And the interconnectedness of all of these countries is not just trade and it's not just water, but it's even in name and destiny that there's a correlation. As Pasuk Hei tells us, Kasher Shema Lemitzrayim Yachilu Kashema Tzor. very difficult words to exactly translate, but it's telling us that when Egypt heard, they trembled, just like what happened to Tzor. There seems to be some correlation between Mitzrayim and Tzor. The way the Radak reads this is Mitzrayim will tremble because they, when they see Nebuchadnezzar destroying Tzor, they realize that it's them who's going to be next. But what's interesting to note is the word Mitzrayim and the name Tzor are very closely related. They have the same root in them. And once again, we're seeing the connection between these lands, Tzor north of Israel, Mitzrayim south of Israel, but both of them recognizing how they have the same name and the same destiny. And here's what gets interesting, because unlike Pasuk Beis, where we tell these islands to be silent, Pasuk Vav tells them to do something else. Ivru Tarshisha, go out to Tarshish. Heililu Yoshvei, cry out, wail out those people who dwell in the islands. And here the Malbim compares it to above and says as follows. He says, yes, in Pasuk Beis, I tell you, Sidon, to be silent because this is an opportunity. But now I tell you to wail. Because quite honestly, you should cry. Because even though you might think in the short term, this is a great opportunity for you to take the position of Tzor in trade, this isn't going to work out for you. This is Hashem's world. It's not your world. So you should cry. You should actually start wailing now in anticipation for the long run. Because in the long run, you will fail and only Am Yisrael will survive. And thus, it's not just Sidon who's told to start wailing, but it's all the neighboring countries. And the next piece, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns around and says, this whole thing was coordinated by me. Mia Atzos al Tzor. Who was the one who planned this? On Tzor Hama'atira, the beautiful, glorious Tzor, the most prestigious of all the nations. Asher Sochreha Sarim Kinaneha Nichbede Aretz, who had merchants who were important, who were noble, and everybody who goes there is very honorable. Hashem Tzvakos Ya'atza. It all came from Hashem. This was Hashem's plan. Lechalel Go'on called Tzvi, to defile all the glory of Tzor. Lehakel Kol Nichbede Aretz, and to make shameful all the people who thought they were so honorable. Yado Nata Al Hayam, Pasuk Yud Aleph tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is stretched out over the sea. Remember the personification of the sea from a few psukim earlier? It's not that the sea is crying or wailing. It's that the sea is an instrument used by Hashem to do what? Lahashmid, to destroy Mu'uzneha, all of the other nations' strength. And thus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to these nations and says, Lo tosifu od la'aloz, you will not celebrate anymore. Ha'mu'ushaka, the oppressed. B'sulas bat Sidon kitim kumi, avori Gamsham lo yanuach lach. He says, even if you run away, the people of Tzidon, you run away to the Kittim, they won't protect you. Nobody will protect you from my wrath. And Pasuk Yud Gimel is a fantastic pasuk to really drive home the message of this perek. The message being that there is a complex interconnectivity between all of the lands in this region, but truly, this entire area is a giant chessboard. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's playing chess. Pasuk Yud Gimel tells us, hey, and indeed, Eretz Kastim Zeh Ha'am Lo Haya. The nation that you're looking at right now, who you perceive to be the Kastim, actually never existed. Asher Yasada. Asher created it. Remember that when Asher is moving around different nations to different places, it creates different new regional tensions. Hekimu Bechunav Oruru Armanoseha Sama Lemapela. It took and created watchtowers. And Asher destroyed the palaces which were in the region and made sure that they were ruins. And this is just one reading of that pasuk. This is how the Radak reads it, but many others try to pass out which land comes from who built what, and when, and who destroyed what. But that's really what we're going for here in this parak, is a deep sense of how unstable everything is. And if you look through any map of the Eretz Yisrael and the Middle East from the beginning of time to now, the lands are constantly changing. Who has what? Who owns what is constantly changing, except for us, except for Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And Pasuk Tes Vav tells us, V'haya, at the end, Bayomahu, on that day, V'nishchacht Tzor Shivim Shana Kimei Melech Echad. Tzor, the city that's going to be destroyed, will only be destroyed for 70 years. Okay. And how do we measure those 70 years? Kimei Melech Echad. It's going to be like the 70 years of a king, of one king. unclear exactly what that one king means. Many understand the one king to be David HaMelech. We know David lived for 70 years and we measure it for 70 years. But what's David HaMelech got to do with any of this? Rashi says it's unclear. The way the Radak reads it is very beautiful. He recalls for us back in Malachim that David HaMelech and his son Shlomo made a peace treaty, a bris, a covenant with the king of Tzor. His name was Hiram. And many years later, the people of Tzor broke that treaty. And Amos talks about this breaking of this bris achim, the treaty of brothers, which they had made. And maybe Kemelech Echad, you will be in a state of ruin, sorry, for 70 years, just like the years of King David, is almost a hint to the people of Tzor to remind them, you shouldn't have backtracked on your treaty with Am Yisrael. You should have taken care of and stayed loyal to Am Yisrael, as we've seen has been much of the theme of all of these 11 psukim. However, the way the Malbim reads it is that the Melech Echad means one kingdom. And what kingdom are we referring to? The Babylonian Empire, which we know also lasted for 70 years. There was a prophecy specifically talking about the 70 years of Babel in Yirmiyahu, which we'll come to in Sefer Yirmiyahu. And here again, we're going to have this understanding that Tzor has the same name as Mitzrayim. Tzor has the same 70-year time frame of destruction as Babel, because each of these nations are interconnected in their fate. And what's going to happen to Tzor at the end of those 70 years? So this is a very fascinating read. The pasuk tells us, "Miketz shivim shana yihye l'tzor kashirat hazona." Tzor is going to become like the song of a prostitute. The way the Mefarshim explain this is that if you have a woman who is a woman of ill repute, and she has many visitors who come to enjoy her trade, and then she becomes forgotten. She ages out, let's say, or people are not so interested in her anymore, and she wants to get them back. So what does she do? She goes out into the streets and she sings, and she tries to make herself appealing again, even though that they people don't want her. Kri kinor, so she takes out a harp. So be ear, and she walks around the city as a forgotten prostitute. Hetivin again here be shir leman tizacheri, and she sings and she sings that people will remember her. And it will work, because Yud-Zayin tells us, "Vayami ketz shivim shana efkod Hashem es Tzor." At the end of those 70 years, Hashem will remember Tzor. Just like we will read in Yirmiyahu, that at the end of 70 years, Hashem will remember Babel. But Babel is remembered for its destruction. In order to be destroyed, Tzor is remembered, v'shava le'etnana, to be returned once again to its state of tradeship. And the trade at the beginning was just a water image. Here it's a prostitute who is using her trade to meet with and to interface with so many other different nations. And they will once again return to her, kol mamlechos ha'aretz al panei adama, all the other nations. But what will happen is that her wage, which she is paid for her services, will be kadosh to Hashem. However, it can't be stored, and it can't go to those who actually are, it can't go to the Beis HaMikdash itself. But it will be provided to the people who are standing before Hashem, meaning the Kohanim will use the money. The people of Tzor, once they regain their glory, will take their money and they will come give a present to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that money will be used to provide for the Kohanim, for the Levim, in order to help them eat, in order to feed them. This seems to be a reference to the time of Mashiach. Rashi says that when Mashiach comes, the Tzaddikim will plunder Tzor once again and take all of its wealth. However, others like the Masudas David and the Radak understand it to be talking about Bayis Sheni, and thinks that during Bayis Sheni, the people of Tzor will have once again a peace treaty with Am Yisrael and bring money and bring presents for the Kohanim. And thus ends the prophecies of the other nations. Tomorrow will begin once again turning back to Am Yisrael in Perek Chaf Dalet. Thank you for learning with me today. Our learning today was sponsored L'Refua Shalema L'Yonina Sima Bas Daphne Hinda Jennifer Hayakara Shalano Ulepitsu Eit Sahal Achenu Hayakarim Betoch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael Nina V'Chaim Shenka.